Proverbs chapter 22 tonight. We're really going to look at just one verse this evening. I figured we had communion tonight, which tends to lengthen the service, so I thought we'd just look at one verse tonight. As I put my notes together, they ended up being just as long as if I was looking at a whole passage, so whether it's just one verse or one passage, we're going to get through our time together tonight. As we come to this study, basic training, again, I want to remind you that the purpose of this study really focuses on that of parenting. And tonight, from Proverbs 22:6, what I want to do is talk about getting to the heart of the matter. And I think Proverbs 22, verse 6, is a crucial verse to our understanding as parents. And I think it's been often misunderstood. Proverbs 22, verse 6 simply reads, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Before we take up this text tonight, would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer, and then we'll try to get right to the heart of the matter. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you tonight for the opportunity that's before us to be able to come now and study your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you for the blessing that you have recorded it, preserved it for us, that we might grow thereby, that we can be taught, that we might be able to best train the family, the children that you have entrusted to our care. Father, Lord, I pray tonight that each one here would understand the practical nature of this message for them. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us each and every one. So Father, we thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, our desire through this series of messages is to address the basic needs of parenting. We do it for several reasons. We do it, one, to help those of us who are in the midst of parenting our children. All of us need to continue to learn and to grow and develop as parents. But we also do it to address those who one day will be parents. The best time for them to learn how to be a good and godly parent is not after they've been 10 or 15 years into parenting and made a whole bunch of mistakes. It's for them to learn now these principles that they would be able to be seeds of thought that they may not think often of much right now, but trust in days to come that as God provides them with families, that they would be able to draw on those principles and put them into practice within their own life. This past week, and I mentioned to you this morning, another thought occurred to me concerning this study. Because again, we have many here within our congregation that are beyond the age of parenting. We have many grandparents. We have some who God never blessed with children within their own home. So how does a message like this seem to apply to them? Well, the reality is this. The very heart and the very core of parenting is discipleship. And so the principles that we discuss through parenting are also principles that we can apply in the realm of discipleship. All of us have a responsibility to disciple others, to help others when they grow. And the principles that work physically also work spiritually. When a person is saved, they are a babe in Christ. There's a need for them to be parented along spiritually. Paul looked at Timothy and said that he was my son in the faith. He took a responsibility to Timothy. And all of us have lessons that we can learn to help us, not only with our physical families, but also within our spiritual family. So tonight, in the time remaining, we want to see four basic things concerning parenting and training from Proverbs 22 and verse 6. The first thing I want you to note with me this evening is what we're called the process. The process that we find written here for us. In this first portion of the verse, we find this phrase, "Train up a child in the way he should go." As we begin to consider that first phrase together, we must understand that God has given to every parent a responsibility to train their children. Parenting at its very heart, at its very essence, is that of training children. And the Bible tells us that every parent is to train up their children in the way they ought to go. It is their duty to ensure that each child that's entrusted to their care be trained up in the ways of the Lord, in the way that child ought to go. And we're going to discover what that means later as we go through it. But let us say at the outset that parents have the responsibility to train their children. Why is that so important for us to consider and understand at the outset? Folks, because there are many parents today that are shirking their responsibility to train their children. You say, I know, I look out in the world today and I see parents who don't parent their kids. It's horrible. I'm speaking to folks within the church today, parents that are shirking the responsibility to train their kids. We sometimes have become guilty and we've become lazy as parents, and we're relying on the church's programs, our children's ministries, our youth ministries. We rely on things like the Christian school to do our duty, which is to train up our children. But God gives to us as the parent the responsibility to enter into this process of training up the child. When we talk about that term, the training of children or the parenting, there's really a two-step process that I think we need to understand tonight. Training really involves two basic thoughts. One is that of teaching. If we are going to train our children in the way they need to go, we must be willing to teach them from God's Word. That first concept can really be found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You can turn there tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're just going to spend a few moments here this evening. But God clearly gives the duty of training and teaching to parents, and I think especially to fathers. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want you to begin reading with me in verse 4. We'll read down through verse 9. We read, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates." As you go down later in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we find in verse 20 and following that parents are to be ready to give an answer spiritually to the questions that their children would ask. As they are walking by the way, the child begin to ask an Israelite, "What means this monument?" And Moses said, you ought to be ready to give a reason as to what that monument was all about. We have a responsibility as parents to teach our children the Word of God. That is not primarily the responsibility of Sunday school. That is not primarily the responsibility of the pastor on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. That is not why, or primarily the responsibility of master clubs and children's church and all those other things. It is the primary duty of the parent to teach their children the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 6, it says that when we're sitting down in our house and when we're walking in the way, that's formal instruction and informal instruction. There ought to be times where we have conversations with our children that we teach them the Word of God. There are other times that we're just in the way and opportunities will arise, and we ought to be able to teach them God's truth. We have a responsibility to teach. But we also have a responsibility to train. And that's really where we want to spend our time tonight, in understanding what it means to train up our children. Again, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. There's a process of training that you and I need to understand. It's our duty both to teach, but also to train. I'm going to talk about this concept of training for a moment. We are to train them. What's that word train mean? If you were to look up that word in a Hebrew lexicon, you would find that the word literally means to make narrow. When you consider that parents are told to train their children in the way they should go, what we need to understand that means is that we are to take them and narrow them to the way that God would have them go. Training is not about broadening our children. Training is about narrowing them. We are to narrow the path that our children take. God says we are to train up our children to narrow their path, to narrow their steps. Now, folks, let's face it. In our society today, this concept flies against conventional wisdom. Does it not? It really does. We consider that word and we think to narrow, that just seems to be wrong. That can't be right. But it is the duty of the parent to narrow their path of their children, to direct them in the way that they will need to go. We're going to discuss that more in detail later on tonight. But understand, to narrow them or to train them means to narrow their path, to restrict it. We can use that term. Now, folks, that flies against the natural conventions of our world today, because the world would say things like this or ask questions like this. Isn't it the duty of parents to broaden their children's horizons? Isn't it the duty of a parent to give their children greater opportunity than they themselves had? Ever heard things just like that? Ever heard parents say that about the church? I want to give them more than I ever had. I want to broaden their horizons. I want to broaden their experiences. Is that what the Bible says we ought to do? God says we ought to narrow them in the way they need to go. The world says broaden their experience, broaden their horizons, give them greater opportunity. That's not what God says. God says to train them, to narrow them in the direction that they are to take. I want you to consider with me, if you would, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Why are we to narrow their path? Why are we to restrict them and to get them in the way they must go? Remember what it says in Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. God tells us that there are two basic paths that you and I can take in this life. We can travel down the road that's known as the broad road. The Bible says that leads to our destruction. Or we can travel down the narrow road that leads to life. So often we come to those verses in Matthew chapter 7 and we only consider them in the context of salvation. But I think as you look at those verses and as I look at them within the context that they are found in the Sermon on the Mount, there is a much broader application than just simply salvation. Our responsibility as a parent is to not allow our children to travel down the broad road with many in this world that leads to their destruction, but to help them find the narrow road that leads to life and blessing. God wants us to train them in the way they ought to go. You'll remember last week we looked at Psalm 127. Psalm 127, we are told that children are what? Anyone remember? arrows in the hand of a mighty man. If an arrow is going to hit its mark, how narrow do you have to be when you aim it? Pretty narrow. My brother got me into archery years ago. I haven't done it since we've been here. But the reality is, you find a point on the front of your bow, you find the point that you want to hit, and you really get yourself to the point of a tunnel vision, and you're not looking at everything else around you. You're only focusing very narrowly on that target. Now, when I used to hunt with a shotgun for pheasants or rabbits, you could throw the gun up, pull the trigger, because it was a very broad attempt to hit them. Not so with an arrow. And God calls our children arrows that are supposed to hit the mark. And to whom did they give them to? Did he give them to the church? Did he give them to the school? Did he give them to Sunday school or master clubs? Who did he give those children to? Parents. And parents are to narrow them that they hit the mark, go the way that they should go. There is a process, and the process requires that we narrow their steps. And we need to understand that as we parent, as we train our children. Parents, I think you and I need to consider tonight what we're doing in the choices that we make for our home. Are we trying to direct them in the way that they should go, narrow them according to that focus? Or are we simply trying to broaden their horizons? That's the world's philosophy. And broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat, but narrow is the way that leads to life. We are to train them. That is our process. But I also want you to notice about this process that it is personal. Train up a child in the way he should go. It is personal. The training of children is a personal activity. You say, Pastor, where do you get this from? I want you to notice the verse, how it is written. Look at that first phrase again. Train up a child in the way he should go. I want you to notice in that first phrase, everything is singular. You notice that? It says we are to train up a child. It wasn't written to train up your children. There's a reason for that. Train up a child in the way he should go. It doesn't say they. It says he. Train up a child in the way he should go. Each child must be dealt with personally. Parenting is not something that is done in plurality. It must be done in singularity. It must be done personally. As we seek to train our children, we have to understand that each one has to be dealt with personally. Why is that the case? Because each child's different. I have 5 children. Now, I could categorize them in some general categories and say this one's like this one and that one's like that one. We have first and last that we call our bookends because they're similar. The one in the middle, well, she's all on her own. Okay? You have different children, and each one within your family is different. No two ones are alike. Now, yes, they're part of the family, but they're not alike. And you cannot treat them like they are alike. You have to treat them and train them singularly. It says, train up a child. It's not assuming that we only have one child in our home. It's assuming that our training is personal. I train up a child, I treat them individually and personally. Each one has unique gifts, and each one has a unique purpose. Train up a child in the way he should go. Each child has a way they should go. Each child has a unique purpose and a God-ordained path that they are to travel and walk. They have their likes and dislikes. They have their strengths. They have their weaknesses. What we need for one is not necessarily the best for the other. And I'll remind you that each one has their own unique purpose ordained by God. Too often the mistake in parenting is made in that we try to make all of our children to conform to one singular standard. But what happens to that is that proves to be very insufficient. Let me give you a quick illustration. Does each child in your home have different abilities academically?
Yes.
Absolutely. Some of our kids do very well. School's their thing. Some of them, they prefer not to be in school. And that's just not for my family. That's for all of our families. We have some that do well, and we have some who don't do well. Now, can I hold every one of my children to the exact same standard about academics? To a point, yes. The simple standard that I can hold to them is this. I expect you to do your very best in everything throughout this year. That's about as far as it goes. Because for one of my children, a 95 may not have been their best. And for another one, that might be spectacular. On a rare occasion. Sometimes our kids come home and they say, how'd you do on that math test? I got this. And we go, awesome. And I wouldn't use that term to describe that grade for another one. Why? Because it wouldn't have been an awesome event for them. It would have been pitiful. Why? Because they can do better. And we expect them to do their best. But each one has a different ability. And by the way, God made them that way. We all have different talents. We all have different abilities. We can't hold them all to the same standard. We have to be careful. God expects us to train each one personally. You say, Pastor, that's kind of hard. We've got a lot. That takes a lot of time. That's what you're still supposed to do. And I should have understood that when I signed up and I had five. And I did. I wanted to stop at four. God said five. But here's what it is, folks. We signed up to train each one of them personally. Why? Because they're all individuals before God. And they have a unique purpose ordained by Almighty God. That, by the way, He established before they were ever born. So our training has to be personal. We have to get to, as we said at the beginning of the outset of this message, get to the heart of the matter with each child, help them achieve their God-given purpose. Next, I want you to notice with me that it must be practical. Child training is to be practical. We are to direct them in the way he should go. God has a plan and God has a purpose for every life. There is a path that they are to walk in, a way they are to travel. And parents have a responsibility to help their children discover that way and follow God's will for their life. So let's apply this thought here for a moment. We need to make parenting and child training very practical. Parents are to help their children discover God's will for their life. That is what the training process is all about. I am to narrow my children in the way God has ordained for them. I am to help them discover God's will for their life. Parenting is not just about me getting my children to come with me to church. getting them to dress right and behave right so that I'm not embarrassed in front of my friends. That's not the purpose of parenting. And by the way, you can tell when that's the purpose of someone's parenting. Because the only time they parent is when they get embarrassed or upset because someone else was, oh, that's not a good child. Now the hammer comes down on the poor child. That's not the purpose of parenting. My purpose in parenting is to help my children find God's will. It is not just that I get them all to conform. For some reason, that doesn't want to let me advance that to that phrase. We'll let that catch up with us. But God doesn't want us just to have them all conform. And folks, I'm going to say this to you, and I say it kindly, but that has been a problem with in independent, fundamental Baptist churches and settings for years. We're not getting to the heart of our children. We just want to get our children to live in conformity to some standard that we set up. And we have established one standard for everyone, and everyone has to conform. But that's not what the purpose of parenting is all about. I have to reach their heart. I have to get to the heart of their life and get them to understand what God wants them to do in their life. Because I want them to accomplish God's will and God's plan for them. So it's not just simply that I get them to conform to whatever standard I have established. But it goes on beyond that. I want them to learn to live by conviction. I don't want my children just simply conforming to a standard while they're living in my home. But I want to narrow their steps so that when they leave my home, they leave with certain convictions as to how they will live and follow God's will and His path for them. Folks, that's the goal of parenting. It's to help my children discover and find God's will for their lives. Now, can I just take one moment and put some emphasis on that phrase for a moment? The role of a parent and the practical aspect of our parenting is to help our children find, please hear these words and the emphasis that I share them, God's will for their lives. Understand that as a parent. It is not for us to help them find our will for their life. Well, I'm the parent. I know what's best. They have a Heavenly Father who knows a whole lot more. And it is about them finding God's will. What if that conflicts with my will? It's still my job as a parent to narrow them to do God's will. Not their will, not my will, God's will. Parenting requires that I follow and have my children seek to know God's will. God has entrusted to us these precious lives, and you and I need to be willing not to possess them, but to train them to follow God's will for their life. That leads us to the last phrase, which brings us to the promise. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That final thought, or this promise, centers in that last phrase. When he is old, he will not depart. Now, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. That phrase has brought a great deal of challenge and has been a big controversy over the years. We don't even have the time tonight to level all of the discussion that would need to be had, but I am going to offer to you some very practical thoughts in relation to it all. Because, folks, what I do think we find from the Lord is a promise that we can lay hold of. We struggle, though, with it. What God says is if we do our part and we train our children in the way they should go, that in their older years, their mature years, they won't depart from God's way. Remember, what are we training them to find? Your will? My will? Their will? Or His will? If we narrow them to find God's will, when they are old, they won't depart from that. You say, but there's a problem with that, Pastor. There's a lot of kids who have. And that's where the controversies come in over the years. As we look at that then, I want you to consider with me some things tonight. As we consider this problem, if the Bible says, if I train up my children in the way they should go, they will not depart when they get older, why is it that so many have? I want you to consider a couple things with me tonight. Let me warn you before I advance this on, because I don't remember actually what's on the slide there tonight, because I can't see it right now. So I'm flying a little blind here tonight, so forgive me. But let me just warn you with something. As we look at these things tonight, it may be hard for us to consider these things, but I think we have to, and we have to do it rather quickly. Okay? But consider it with me, think through it with me tonight. If children do not continue in the way they should go, then I think all of us have to come to the place that we reckon with the fact that the blame is not on God. That's a hard one. Because if you can think logically, we understand what that really means. All failure must be laid at the feet of either the parent or the child. And I'll be honest with you, I think the vast majority of the time it belongs at the feet of the parent. You say, now that one, Pastor, hurts. But hold on with me. Is God's word true? Has God ever lied? So when things don't turn out the way we expect, can we turn now and blame God for that? I don't think we can. There is a promise, but it is conditional. We must train them up in the way they should go. So if children don't turn out the way we wanted them to, is that God's fault? Does that mean that God's word doesn't work? Does that mean that parenting and training doesn't work? Well, it just didn't work for my child. Is that true? No, folks, it's not true. We cannot level the blame at God. The blame belongs with us. But some are going to come to me and say, well, Pastor, the problem is I did everything right. I trained them in the way they should go. They still didn't turn out. Then I want you to reconsider again how you trained them. And I want you to ask yourself questions such as this and answer them honestly. Was I too permissive as a parent? Did I truly train them and narrow their path, or did I try to broaden their horizons? Did I seek to reach their heart, or was I only concerned with their conformity? Was my training a one-size-fits-all approach? Did I relinquish my training to others, assuming that they would care as much for my children as I did? Folks, when things don't turn out, we can't come to Proverbs 22:6 and say, that one just doesn't work. Because it does. The fault lies in our carrying out of that verse. And I'll be honest with you, folks. I've seen it from so many different perspectives over my life. And I can honestly say to you that the problem, the majority of the time, is the parenting. Because we don't understand what God's Word says. Or if we do, we have our excuses as to why we can't do that anymore. It's how we make those excuses. I know what, Pastor, what the Bible says, but we've come up with a better way within our home. Is there really any better way than God's way? Folks, we have allowed humanistic thought to enter into the church and enter into our parenting and our training of children. Because I hear a lot of parents say, I'm trying to broaden their path, broaden their horizons, and that's the absolute opposite of what God says. I know it's the heart of a parent to want to give and give and give and give. By the way, that's the heart of your Heavenly Father. He desires to give good things unto His children. And He knows how to give good things. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. But He also, has He not, restricted our paths? Absolutely. Thou shalt not. There are things we are not permitted to do. And there are things within the lives of our children that they're just not permitted to do. But we want to give them more experiences. Is that experience going to help them find God's will or drive them from God's will? I want to broaden their horizons. Am I helping them find God's will for their life? And folks, I'll be honest, one of the things that I think hurts most kids, so we don't understand that my job is to get them to the place that they find God's will for their life and live it with all of their heart, soul, and mind. There are too many parents who want to establish what they want for their kids and direct them in the way they want them to go, not the way God wants them to go. See, my children are entrusted to me by God, but they're not mine. They're His. He placed them as arrows in my hand. And my job is to get them to hit the mark. Who determines the mark? I think God does, not me. See, it's not about just giving them a better life. It's giving them to the life that God ordained for them. And sometimes, folks, that's hard because God's will conflicts with ours. But yet when we cause them to go astray from that, we then can't turn back and say, see, I told you, Pastor, it just doesn't work. For all of us who are in the process now of parenting our children, I want to remind you, it's your duty to train them, to narrow them, and to teach them. It has to be personal, and it's very practical. There is a way for them to go. And in every area of life, while they are under your care, it is your responsibility to make sure they hit that mark. That's their career, their calling, their marriage. While they are under your roof, it is your job to help them hit the mark. Here's the promise. When they're old, they will walk in the ways that God ordained for them. You know why? Because when they hit that mark, you will have had their heart. And when we have their heart, and God has their heart, He is wonderful at keeping the heart. Does that mean they won't struggle? Does that mean they'll never stray? Verse doesn't say that. And it doesn't say that they'll never make a mistake or never fall into sin. What it says is they'll continue in the way they were trained, in the way they should go. And God is able to do a wonderful work within their life. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I'm already beyond the years of parenting, and you know what, I sit here with regrets. It's still not over, folks. You have an opportunity to go back to your children and say, I failed. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm praying for you. I should have done a better job. I wish I knew more, but I take full responsibility. Please forgive me. See, the reality is, folks, you're still their parent. You may not be their authority, but you're still the parent. You can still influence their life. You can still disciple them for good. You can still encourage them and exhort them in the way they should go. It's not over yet. So let's not come to a verse like this and say, well, that didn't work for me. Let's throw up my hands and quit. Let's instead come and accept that God's word is true and God's way is right. And what he tells us to do is to train them up in the way they should go. Singularly, each one according to his design and his plan. Narrow them to find God's will. Let's pray together, please, as we close.